dear God, and I just pray that many people's lives be changed because of the truth that's preached tonight. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is the most famous verse in this chapter, verse number 8, where the Bible reads, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, the part that I wanted to focus on there is he says, "Thou shalt meditate therein." Now, that's a command, right? Just like the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill," etc. This is a command from God commanding us to meditate in the Bible, to meditate in God's Word. But what's interesting about it is, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." He didn't just say out of your mind or your ears or your eyes, you know, like reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, thinking about the Bible. But he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Look at Psalm 1. Just flip over to the very center of your Bible. You find the book of Psalms. And then look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's the same thing that God told Joshua. He said, if the book of the law does not depart out of your mouth, if you meditate therein day and night, he said, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. Now, we're not talking about financial success. You know, today we live in the day of the prosperity gospel, where they teach that, if you do what's right, if you pray and go to church, you know, you're going to have all this money and you're going to drive a fancy car. Look, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The Bible says that unto you it has been given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Hey, our goal in life is not to live in a mansion, drive a fancy car, have perfect health, and live to be 120 years old. Hey, when God's saying you're going to make your way prosperous, you're going to have good success, hey, you're going to succeed in the things that God has for you to do with your life. Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses brought them out of Egypt. Paul preached the gospel to all those that were in Asia. Was he rich? No. Did he have money? No. But he succeeded. Wouldn't you say that Paul's life was a great success? Because he preached to all these people, started all these churches, and yet many times he didn't even know where he was going to sleep that night. Okay? And so it's not the world's definition of success. It's God's definition of success. Hey, I want God to prosper me as I rear my children. I want to have success as I rear my children to grow up to be godly Christian young people. Hey, that's the kind of success I'm talking about. Success when I'm out knocking doors that I would get people saved. Hey, success in every area of life that I would do God's will for my life and reach my full potential in serving God. That's what we're talking about when we talk about prospering and being successful. I want to be a successful father, successful husband, successful pastor, successful soul winner, etc. And so he's saying here, if you want to have good success, if you want to prosper, you must meditate on God's Word day and night. Now, there's a lot of preaching on Psalm 1:1. I've heard many sermons about, you know, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And we ought not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. But I haven't heard as much preaching about the other side of the coin. Yes, we need to avoid these bad things, but also if we want God to bless us, we must meditate in God's Word day and night. Now, why is meditation done with your mouth? Well, let me give you an illustration that I like to use. I think of a cow chewing the cud. Okay, now, how many stomachs does a cow have? Who knows? Four. Now, it's unbelievable. You know, you think, wait, is this really true? I remember I was teaching this to my son. He just laughed. He was like, "Dad, is this really true?" It's like, yes, you know, a cow really has four stomachs. Because he eats the grass, right? Chews on it, swallows it into the first stomach, then later he regurgitates it, right? Up into his mouth. Sorry about that sound effect. And then he chews it up again a second time, swallows it again, brings it back up. Okay. Now this is an illustration for what it is to meditate upon God's Word. And it's an illustration that's used in the Bible. The Bible talks a lot about animals that chew the cud. Jesus talked about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He basically differentiated between the food that goes into your mouth and into your belly, and then the words that come out of your heart. Okay? Now, what is it to meditate upon God's Word? Well, first of all, in order to meditate upon God's Word has to be in your heart. You must memorize God's Word. It has to be down in your stomach, so to speak, your heart, so that you can bring it back up later and chew on it. Now, today we live in a time where the Word of God is not emphasized. People are, seems like they're just interested in maybe the story or the truth or the idea, when in reality, Jesus said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So if I want to meditate upon the words of God, and over he emphasizes the words. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I don't want to just have some rough paraphrase that I'm meditating on. I don't want to just meditate upon the idea, okay? I want to meditate on His words. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to have these verses memorized word for word. Now, if you would, look at Proverbs chapter 7. Just flip over from Psalms over to Proverbs, the next book in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I'll read to you a New Testament verse. Here's a New Testament command. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, in order to give yourself wholly to something, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely, entirely. Give yourself wholly to God's Word. I mean, we're talking about meditating upon it day and night. Now you say, well, that's really extreme. Well, but that's what the Bible says. That's what we ought to do if we want to prosper and have success. We ought to be meditating upon God's Word day and night. We ought to give ourselves wholly to meditating upon God's Word. Look at Proverbs 7:1. My son, keep my words. What does it mean to keep them? Think about that. He said, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. What does lay up mean? The Bible talks about not laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? Laying up is what? Storage. Okay? And he says here, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, have you ever heard people talk about learning something by heart? He knows it all by heart. That's talking about memorizing. He's saying, write it upon the table of your heart. Bind it upon your fingers. He's saying, keep it. Lay it up. Know the Bible. Memorize. In your heart. Look at verse. Look back at chapter 6. Look back to chapter 6, verse 20. He says, and here he's talking about the father's commandment and mother's commandment, but obviously we'd apply this to God's Word, because throughout Proverbs, parents are admonished to teach their children God's Word. But he says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Do you want to go through life having God lead you? Do you want God to lead you through life? Yes. And in order to do so, you've got to bind His Word to your heart, according to the Bible. And by the way, these are commands. He doesn't say this is a good idea. He said, no, keep my words. Learn my words. Keep it in your heart. Bind it to your heart. Look if you would at, well, I'll just read these to you. You don't have to turn there. But Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Does anybody know where that quote is mentioned in the New Testament? It's mentioned in reference to whom? Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, lo, behold, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me. To do thy will, O God. But listen, there's another phrase that's not quoted in Hebrews in Psalm 40. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Okay, so we're talking about having God's Word in your heart. Even Jesus Christ said, thy Word is in my heart. Okay, and then Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. This is Jeremiah. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. This is when Jeremiah became discouraged and didn't want to preach anymore. He said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah finally was going to throw in the towel as a preacher. I mean, he was getting so much opposition, he was thrown in jail, his family had turned on him, and he said, that's it, I am done preaching God's word. But he said, I had God's word in my heart, and it was like a fire burning inside of me, and I just couldn't help but get up and preach the Bible. Hey, thank God that he had God's word in his heart that kept him going even through the most adverse circumstances that you and I couldn't even imagine that you read about that he went through in the book of Jeremiah. David said this in Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Laying in bed, it's dark. Doesn't have the Bible in front of him. He's laying in bed at night, but he still has the word of God with him. He still can meditate upon God's word. Look at Psalm 119, right in the middle of the Bible, book of Psalms, the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And it's interesting because the longest chapter in the whole Bible, Psalm 119, is all about the Word of God. 176 verses. It's divided into 22 sections of 8 verses each, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And every single verse mentions God's Word. He uses different terms to apply to it, like the law of the Lord, His statutes, His way, His precepts. He uses these different synonyms. And the first 7 verses of Psalm 119, he introduces us to each of the 7 terms that he uses throughout Psalm 119 over and over to mention His Word. He says in Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Now these 7 words, in addition to the obvious word, just word, the Word of God, these 7 terms are used throughout Psalm 119, and every verse either mentions one of those 7 terms or just the Word of God. Okay, so this is a great chapter, just all about the Bible. There's a lot of doctrine about God's Word in this chapter. But look, if you would, at verse 15. It says, I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. Where's the other verse I was looking for? Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Look at verse number 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Look at verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Look at verse 148. Psalm 119, 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Again, a reference to being at night in the dark, you know, meditating upon God's word. But there's another part that I want to show you. Now, you know these are all broken. Who has it in their Bible where it's broken into the little 8 verse sections? Does your Bible show that with the letters? Okay. Well, look at the one that begins with verse 97. Okay, look at verse 97. See, these are broken up in these different letters. Well, verse 97 is like the letter M. Now, it's not our 26-letter alphabet. It's a 22-letter Hebrew alphabet. But it's still, you know, it's basically the same as our letter M. Okay? And so, this section is kind of all about memorizing the Bible. It's kind of easy to remember because it's called Mem. Right? Memorize. Okay? Now, it's interesting. The word meditate is used in this chapter exactly 7 times. Okay? 2 times it's used just in this one section. Let's read this section. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, is that true in your life? Now, you say, why was David a man after God's own heart? Why did he do so many great things for God? Why was he so successful in his life? Why did God love him and choose him and lift him up to be the king of Israel? I bet that verse is a lot to do with it. Because he loved God's word and because he meditated upon it day and night. He said, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. Who's the they? The commandments. He's saying, your commandments are ever with me. Therefore, I'm wiser than all my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. That's a great passage on knowing the Bible, right? Having God's word with you, memorized in your heart. Now, many people today are not interested in memorizing God's word, but hey, this is still a command of God. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This will change your whole life if you'll get this truth. This will revolutionize your thought life. You see, a lot of people struggle with having bad thoughts. You know, and I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You don't have to turn there. But he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this last statement. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to have control of our thoughts. Not just let our mind wander on whatever garbage that the world has been cramming down our throat. And boy, if you watch a little bit of TV or a little bit of movies or listen to a little rock and roll, hey, your mind is filled with a bunch of garbage. And look, I used to listen to that stuff. I used to watch all that stuff. And therefore, my heart and my mind was full of garbage. But you know what? When I got right with God, when I decided, hey, I want to do something for God, well, I had to start to just clean all that garbage out of my mind and to try to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, are we ever going to bring every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ? No, we're never going to be perfect. You know, we're sinners. Okay? But we should be purifying ourselves, the Bible says. We should be trying to clean up our thought life and bring our thoughts into captivity. One way to control your thoughts is to meditate upon God's Word. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Okay? People, they sit around, they have nothing to do, they're the ones who are going to get into trouble. You know, children who are not given any work to do, not given any book to read, not given any chores to perform, they're going to get into trouble. Because they're just, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and they're going to find ways to be up to no good. One of the ways to keep yourself, you know, especially if you're a young person, hey, to keep yourself on track is to stay busy. Don't sit around. Don't be lazy. Don't be idle. Hey, be busy doing something for God. But you know what? I'll take it a step further. Not only do I want to stay busy in order to stay out of trouble, I want to keep my mind busy. Instead of just daydreaming about nothing, hey, why not learn the Bible? Why not memorize the Bible? Now let me tell you a little bit about when I started memorizing the Bible, okay? Well, when I was a little child, of course, we would memorize the Bible a little bit, kind of like we do here on a weekly basis. We have memory verses, and the children come up and get a piece of candy and so forth. When I was a young child, I used to memorize the Bible. I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old getting a little trophy because I had memorized Psalm 1. You know, just the short little Psalm 1, 6 little verses. And I got this trophy and I was excited. I marched down to the front of the church. I was all excited. I got this little trophy and everything. I had it for years. I'm sure my mom still has it. But anyway, you know, I got this trophy for memorizing the Bible. But I never really... And I made an effort to memorize a few verses here and there just for my own personal edification, verses that I felt were important. But when I became a teenager, I was 16, I went to a summer camp one time, okay? And in this summer camp, they had a challenge to memorize this chapter of the Bible. We were all broken up into teams, and if you memorize this chapter, you got a lot of points for the team. And it was Philippians chapter 3. Okay, 21 verses. And if you learned Philippians chapter 3, you got a lot of points for the team. And man, that seemed huge. I mean, that seemed a really big goal. And I thought, man, I don't even know if I can do this. Well, I saw a few other kids in my cabin that were doing it. I thought, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it. You know, I want to try this. I want to work on this. Now, they were all doing it. This was kind of a liberal camp. So they're all using like the New International Version and these newer versions. So I had to go outside because they're all working on it in the cabin out loud. I had to go outside to avoid the confusion, you know, because I had the King James Version. So So I'm like, I'm going to memorize it. So I memorized Philippians chapter 3. You know, I got the points for the team. I was excited about it. But this opened up a whole world of Bible memorization to me. Just that one week in camp. Because on the bus on the way home, because I started to realize, hey, this is doable. On the bus on the way home, I memorized a big chunk of chapter 4. And I was like, wow, you know, this is great. I can do this. So I went home. I finished chapter 4. I learned chapters 3 and 4. Then I memorized Proverbs chapter 30. Then I memorized Habakkuk, the whole book of Habakkuk, just the three chapters. And then I memorized Psalm 11, a couple other things. And I went through some, and I memorized the book of Joel. And when I got done with all that, I think I had about like 10 or 11 chapters memorized. But here's the problem. I was trying to quote them all back every day. Well, that was great for a few months. But just quoting the same, you know, 11 chapters every day. I started to get tired of it. You know, just the same one. So then I finally just, oh man, I just can't do this anymore. So I didn't say them at all for about 2 months. So about 2 months later, I said, you know, I want to go back and see if I still know those. I went back, couldn't quote them. It's like, oh man, you know. So I was really frustrated because I'd spent so much time to work on them, and I quoted them for months, and then I just, 2 months went by, and just, I couldn't quote them. I was stumbling over it. And so I basically just threw in the towel on it. You know, I just kind of got away from memorizing for a long time. Well, years and years went by, and then somebody showed me a website. My wife showed me the website. I don't know where she found it. She showed me this website that showed you, it was called You Can Memorize the New Testament in 5 Years. Okay? And it explained, you know, memorization. I looked at that, and I remember when I first looked at it, I said, that's impossible. He said, it can't be done. You know? But then I started to read it, and I was like, wait a minute, this can be done. This is possible. But it blew me away. I couldn't even imagine such a thing. Well, what this website taught you, and this is what I try to teach people too, is that in order to retain something, you don't quote it back every day. You quote it back every day for 1 week. Then you quote it once a week for a month, and then you just quote it once a month. Because otherwise you're going to get worn out if you try to just quote it every day, every day, every day. And so I got on this program where I would memorize a chapter in the Bible. I would quote it every day for 1 week. Then I would quote it every week for a month. And then I would quote it every month perennially. That's pretty easy to quote something once a month. You're not getting bored just repeating the same thing again and again. And so once I figured that out, I realized that, wait a minute, you got to get this into your long-term memory. And when you're quoting it every day, it's not in your long-term memory as much as when you start to gradually back it off to weekly, then to monthly, a gradual step-by-step process. Now, boy, once I started doing that, I was excited. You know, I started to learn chapters and be able to retain them, learn whole books of the Bible. And I started realizing, hey, this is possible. This can be done. Now, look, this is something that God asks us to do. One of the great things about, you say, well, I memorized a few verses. Well, look, this is why this is better than memorizing just a few verses. Number one, a few verses, a few verses. You know, these are whole chapters. Okay, these are whole books of the Bible. But not only that, you're getting the context. You know, so many people, they learn a verse, and they know that verse really well. And you'll even hear preachers preach a verse. But sometimes when you go back and read that chapter, it's not really what that verse was talking about. You know, they've kind of pulled it out of the chapter, pulled it out of the context, and it's kind of lost some of its meaning by being pulled out of its context. Whereas when you memorize the whole chapter, hey, you're getting the big picture. You're understanding the whole scripture as a whole instead of just taking a little bit and a little piece here and there. Hey, memorizing whole chapters. Now, you say, why else should I memorize whole chapters and whole books of the Bible? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is one of the best things about memorizing the Bible. And you say, oh, that's for kids. You know, kids are, it's easy for kids to memorize. That is not true. Why in the world would it be harder for an adult to memorize than for a child? It's just the difference is that adults are busy with everything else. But if they took the time that children take, they could do the same memorization that children can do. Not only that, but this is an acquired skill. When I started out memorizing chapters, it was very hard. It took a lot of work, and it still takes a lot of work. But you know, the more chapters you memorize, you'll learn how to memorize, and you'll actually become faster at this and better. And I'll tell you this, you won't believe me, but I mean, because I have like 100 and some chapters memorized, okay? But my wife can memorize a chapter 4 times as fast as I can. It's a fact. I mean, she can literally, isn't that true? Don't mess up my sermon. Okay, thank you. Honestly, like, because we worked on some of the same stuff. She memorizes stuff like it's nothing. My son Solomon, same thing. He can memorize stuff. I mean, he can pick it up. It's easy for him. He memorized the whole book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters, and quoted it word perfect. And he was 5 years old when he did it. Okay, so don't tell me this can't be done. Don't tell me you can't do this. But look, some people have a little more skill at it. My wife, Solomon, comes easy to them. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's like the tortoise and the hare. And I'm not exaggerating that my wife can do it four times as fast as I can. But if you be diligent, I've been diligent and I've still been able to memorize a lot of Bible. Even though I didn't just have a natural talent for it and I had to work at it, okay, it's still possible for anyone. For example, a girl who used to go to our church who had Down syndrome memorized entire chapters of the Bible. She had Down syndrome and yet was able to quote entire chapters of the Bible word perfect, and she quoted them to me. I heard them out of her mouth. So this is possible for even someone who's handicapped, even a small child, an adult, no matter where you are in life, you can do this. And by the way, this will improve your intelligence. The Bible says that God's word makes wise the simple in Psalm 19. Making wise the simple about the law of the Lord, about God's word. I've known people who were not that sharp. They started memorizing the Bible, they became more intelligent as a person. It's true. I mean, I've seen people who did not have good speaking skills or eloquence begin to memorize God's word, and I watched their speaking skills improve. Why? Because a big part of memorization is done with your what? According to Joshua 1:8, mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. See, you meditate with your mouth. It's not just in your mind, but it's knowing God's word in your heart and then quoting it aloud. Reciting it to yourself with your mouth, okay? That's where the cycle is complete of memorization. Speaking God's word. This will improve your speaking skills. This will improve your understanding of Scripture. Here's why. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Watch this. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And so here we see that we understand and speak and preach God's word, not using the words of man's wisdom. The words of theology. You know, you go to some seminary somewhere, and you know, some dead place where you're going to learn about all the Christophany and the Theophany and the blah, 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 blah. We believe in the verbal plenary and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know, you learn all this theological jargon. God says we don't use those words. We use the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. That's these words right here. The Holy Bible. God's word. And he said, we use spiritual words. This is a spiritual book. It's spiritually discerned. The unbeliever cannot understand the Bible. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here's another example about my wife. Before my wife was saved, she'd been given a Bible. Okay? I gave her a Bible before she got saved. But before that, she had picked up a Bible at another time. One time, she picked up the Bible and began to read the book of Psalms. Another time, she picked up the Bible and began to read John chapter 1. And she read John chapter 1 and she said, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. And she walked away from it. You know, she didn't do any more reading. She read a little bit of Psalms, read John 1, and said, doesn't make any sense to me. Okay? After she got saved, I remember because I won her to Christ, okay? The next day after she got saved, I told her, I said, hey, you should read the Bible every day. I said, right now, you know, I said, I'm doing something else. I said, why don't you sit down right now and read a chapter in the Bible? Start in the book of John. You know, and I happened to start her out in the same place that she had once started before she was saved. And so I said, here, read John 1. She read it And I said, what do you think that means? And she explained, and she understood what it meant. She comprehended what it meant. And she was able to explain to me what it meant. Okay. Because the Bible is a spiritual book. I've watched people come to our church that were not saved, that were not a believer. And stuff would just go over their head. And you try, you talk to them, and it's like they weren't really getting it. They were like missing something. And they'd ask questions about the sermon that just kind of showed that they weren't really comprehending things. But then I watched that same person get saved, and just it's like the veil has come off. The scales have fallen off their eyes. And now when you talk to them, they're able to comprehend the Bible. I mean, it's a night and day difference. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen people that were not saved and they got saved, it's like, wow, all of a sudden they can understand the Bible. That's the Holy Spirit, okay? But notice what he says. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does that mean? That means taking one scripture in the Bible and comparing it with another scripture in order to understand the Bible. Right? Not comparing the Bible to a dictionary. Comparing the Bible to an encyclopedia. Comparing the Bible to a map somewhere. Comparing the Bible to a commentary. No. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Not spiritual with man-made, but spiritual with spiritual. Now listen, what better way could there be to compare spiritual with spiritual than if you have part of the Bible memorized, then you're reading another part. Do you see how the comparison can happen? Now, otherwise, you're going to be like, okay, I got my finger here. You know what I mean? And you're trying to compare. But what happens is, let's say you have a small book in the New Testament memorized. Let's say you memorize the book of, say, 1 Timothy, for example. Okay? You memorize 1 Timothy. Okay? Well, then, when you're reading through the Old Testament, you're going to see things, okay, that are going to jump out at you and say, boy, this reminds me of something that I read in 1 Timothy. And you're going to be able to make that mental comparison because you're basically, once you have 1 Timothy memorized, now every other chapter in the Bible, the other 1,183 chapters of the Bible, okay, as you read through them, you're mentally comparing them with the one that's just always in your mind, 1 Timothy. You got it word for word in your heart. Now every one of the 1,183 chapters of the Bible as you read is being compared in your mind with 1 Timothy. Now, let's say you have 100 chapters of the Bible memorized. Well, now the other 1,189. So the other 1,089 chapters you read, that 100 chapters, you know, which is about almost a tenth of the Bible, you know, is gonna be in your mind, and you're gonna be constantly comparing. You won't be able to help but compare. You'll read something and say, "Boy, see the way that's worded? Boy, that reminds me of this other verse that I have committed to memory." And you'll notice exact wording, because you didn't just memorize a paraphrase or an idea or a thought. Hey, you memorized that verse word for word. You're going to notice parallels that other people will not notice and that you've never seen before. I mean, honestly, you'll be reading through the Bible and say, whoa, this is worded exactly the same way. And then you'll compare the two, and you could learn great truths from the Bible. Another thing, a lot of passages in the New Testament are quotations from the Old Testament. Okay? Let's say you have the book of Hebrews memorized, which has a lot of quotations in it, more than most of the other books in the New Testament, or Romans. A lot of quotations from the Old Testament. You're going to be, as you're reading the Old Testament, you're going to be coming across those quotations. And you're going to be reading them in the context that you find them in the Old Testament, and you've got that memorized in the New Testament in a different context, you will learn the Bible unlike you have ever learned it. When you're able to compare, Bible study God's way. Not some man-made Bible study program, but God's method. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Meditation, memorization, hiding it in your heart. Now you remember something else he said. You don't have to turn back there, but you remember how he said, bind them upon thy fingers, write them on the table of thine heart? You know, this is God's word at your fingertips. What I would relate this to is having God's word on a note card in your pocket. And this is the best way to memorize the Bible. You take out a 3x5 card, you write a verse on that 3x5 card, or several verses. You keep that in your pocket, and right there, it's on your fingertips all the time, just like God said. God's word at your fingers. Just pull it out quickly. It's easy. Boy, there are so many times that I've been stuck somewhere, stuck in a waiting room, stuck in line somewhere, stuck somewhere, and you're just bored. Right? The post office, the bank, you know, you're waiting to get something notarized, and you just sit there for 20 minutes. And whenever I don't have, you know, a New Testament or no cards with me. It frustrates me because I'm like, man, I could be working on memorizing the Bible or reading the Bible or something. You know, do something with my time. But it's cool because I downloaded it to my cell phone now. So, you know, I was sitting on an airplane and they said, oh, you know, we've landed, but the gate's not going to be ready for 20 minutes. So I basically, now I've got the whole Bible, okay, on my cell phone. And I basically can just pull up whatever part of the Bible, just while I'm talking right now, this is how long it took me. Boom. 1 John is pulled up, all right, that fast. So I got it right here. You know, and the cool thing about this is, I can like scroll it up and down, so I can kind of keep part of it covered up, like the part that I'm trying to quote back, that I've memorized, and I'm slowly revealing it, like making sure I got it right, you know what I mean? But look, you can do it on note cards, a pocket New Testament, even today, you know, you can download it to your phone or something. But in some way, shape, or form, you may not be all high-tech and everything, you know, but hey, in some way, shape, or form, whether it be on the cell phone, whether it be on a note card, whether it be a pocket New Testament that costs $2.99, hey, have God's Word at your fingertips throughout the day, or you're going to miss opportunities that you could be using to meditate on God's Word, to learn God's Word. But thank God, there have been times even when I had none of those things at my fingertips. For example, when I was in jail. You know, that's a good example. Okay, I didn't have anything. But you know what? I still was able to quote my verses because I had it in my heart. You know, thank God. Thank God, even when you're all by yourself, and everybody gets lonely from time to time, right? You ever get lonely? Now, you may not get as lonely as I do because I spend a lot of time traveling. And so sometimes I get lonely just driving down the road or sitting in a hotel room. It can be lonely. You know, sometimes I'll just get a lonely feeling. It's like, man, I wish I had somebody here to talk to, or and maybe you understand that, maybe you don't. But believe me, I know what it means to be lonely because I've spent a lot of time on the road and a lot of time traveling. Tonight I'm flying, you know, well, whatever, but I'm traveling again. But anyway, the point is, I'm never alone. Because like it said in Proverbs 6:22, we read a little earlier, talked about binding God's Word in your heart. He said, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And watch this. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Okay? Right? Somebody to talk to. You know? You wake up, you're by yourself in some distant town, or, you know, maybe you live alone, or maybe you're away from family for a while, or maybe you're always away from family. Whatever the case may be. Hey, when you get lonely, there's nothing that's more of a comfort than to wake up and God's Word can talk with you. You know, even, you don't have to pull the book off the shelf. You get in the shower, you sit down to eat, God's Word is talking with you because you've bound it to your heart. Because you've bound it to your fingers. Because you've hidden it in your heart. Hey, memorize the Bible. Learn the Bible. You say, boy, maybe you're a young man and you say, I want to preach someday. Hey, memorize the Bible so that one day you'll be able to preach God's Word with power. Because I'll tell you what, you don't want to always have to be like this while you're preaching. Like, oh man, you know. Oh, I just thought of something. Now look, true, these are my notes for my sermon. I have all my scriptures printed out so that I don't have to turn to them in the Bible necessarily and spend time turning pages. But you know what? A lot of times when I'm preaching, God's Spirit could lead me and cause me to, you know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring God's Word to our remembrance. Sometimes while I'm preaching, all of a sudden, boom, God's Word will pop into my mind. Something, you know, something that wasn't even in the sermon. Something that I didn't plan or write down, but just the perfect scripture to illustrate what I'm trying to preach will come into my mind, and thank God it's memorized. I can just say it. I don't have to sit there and, oh man, I just thought of a good verse. Where was that again? And every once in a while, you've seen me do that. And I'm like, oh man, I got to find this. And I'll ask somebody in the audience to try to help me find it. But you know what? Thank God for scripture memory. I think the best thing to prepare me to preach and a pastor is to hide God's Word in my heart, to memorize the Bible. That is the best thing. You know, it's funny how people will go and sit for 4 years in some college and get a piece of paper that somehow is going to make them spiritual or make them a man of God or make them a pastor. But you know what's funny? A lot of people you talk to that come out of that 4 years, they still don't know the Bible. Now imagine if you took that same 4 years, right? Same 4 years. And let's say you just decided, you know what, I'm just going to memorize 6 verses every day. Right? And I'm going to save all that money. I'm just going to be in the local church. I'm not going to go to some Bible college. And you know, when I went to Bible college, I was paying $500 a month for the tuition down there. Okay. So, you know, save all the money. Save all the time sitting in these classes for 5 hours a day. Okay. And just memorize it. No, I'm just going to memorize 6 verses a day. All the effort that I would have put into college, all the drive to get there each day, the drive to get home, the money that I would have had to earn out working to pay the tuition, the time I would sit in class. I mean, think about it. You know that with that amount of effort and energy and hours, you could easily memorize 6 verses a day. Easily. I mean, think about it. 6 verses every day. And you know what? When you were done at the end of that 4 years, if you learn those 6 verses and just retain what you learned, you know, using the method that I described of quoting it daily, then weekly, then monthly, instead of a 4-year degree, you'd walk out and say, I have memorized the entire New Testament of the Bible. You'd be able to quote from Matthew to Revelation. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. Or you could have a BS in theology. And look, I'm not saying, oh, you're using profanity. It's called a BS, right? A BA. Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Arts. Or you could be really cool and you could get a master's degree for 6 years of work. You know, like even though Jesus said, be not ye called master, for one is your master, which is in heaven. He said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Be not ye called rabbi. He said, don't be called rabbi, father, or master. What do the Catholics call the priest? Father. What do the Jews call the master of the synagogue? Rabbi, which is Hebrew for master. And what do Baptists call themselves? Master of theology. Master of divinity. It's like He-Man and She-Ra, the masters of the universe. Okay? You know, oh, I'm the master of the study of God. No. I don't need, you know, I would much rather spend 4 years memorizing the whole New Testament. Who do you think is going to be more prepared to preach? Who would you rather listen to preach? I'd rather listen to the guy who memorized the entire New Testament than to sit and listen to some guy who's got, you know, B.A. from so-and-so Baptist Theological Seminary, and, you know, or now it's these mail order. The cool thing is now these Bible college by mail order. You know, you send them a few $1,000, you send in, you cut out UPC symbols from Trix cereal, you know, and you send it in, and then you read a bunch of theological books by Moody, Finney, Spurgeon, Wesley, you know, all these giants of other religions that are not Baptist, you know, like other Protestant denominations that deny a lot of the doctrines we believe in, okay? You know, you can study all that, and then they'll mail you a degree. And now you're a man of God. Now you can preach with power. Now you're a man after God's own heart. I mean, stop and think about it. It's silly, but you know what? You say, well, why, Pastor, why do so many people go and get the degree, and why do so few memorize the Bible? I'll tell you why. Because getting the degree is easy compared to memorizing the Bible. And people are too lazy. And what it comes down to is not just laziness, it comes down to a lack of love for God's Word. They'd rather sit and listen to man for 5 hours. They'd rather sit in that classroom with their notepad and listen to lectures from man in a seminary for 5 hours in a Bible college than to get alone with God and go to Wilderness Baptist Bible College. Okay? The professor is the Holy Ghost of God. Like John the Baptist, he didn't go to some Bible college. Hey, he got alone with God and he met God. He didn't have to go to a Bible college because he had God's Word in his heart. And he preached with power. This is what we need today. We need preachers that are Spirit-filled. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with God's Word. Giving themselves wholly to God's Word. Meditating upon God's Word. And you can't get that from a piece of paper. You can't get that from an institution. You can't buy it with money. It must be bought at the expense of your life blood day in and day out. Saying, I will memorize and meditate in God's Word. You see, if it were easy to memorize chapters of the Bible, everyone would be doing it. But it has nothing to do with skill or talent or ability. It has to do with one, love of the Bible, and number two, determination, patience, diligence, not being lazy, but willing to buckle down and do it. It's not easy or else everybody would be doing it. Soul winning's not easy or else everybody would be doing it, right? Living for God's not easy or else everybody would be doing it. It's hard. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. That's what the Bible says. And so decide today, say, you know what? I'm not just going to sit here and just be all casual about my Christianity. You know what? I want God to use me to the maximum. I want to be filled with God's Spirit. I want whatsoever I do to prosper. So you know what? I'm going to meditate on God's Word day and night. Because that's the formula right there. That's where you're going to have good success. That's where you're going to make your way prosperous. When you learn the Bible. And today, people are going into false doctrine. They're walking into church and they're being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, some new cute doctrine will come out. They'll go to this church, hear this preach, go with that for a while. Then they'll go to this church, hear this preach, and follow that for a while. You know what? When you have the Bible memorized, you will be rooted and grounded in what you believe. You won't just be tossed to and fro. You know, these little devotional booklets have replaced legitimate reading and memorizing of God's Word. You know, I'm talking about just reading it cover to cover. You should read the Bible cover to cover again and again and again and again. You know, if you've never read it cover to cover, we have a chart in the lobby that shows you how you can read the Bible cover to cover in 1 year. And it'll take about 15, 20 minutes a day. It shows you what to read every day, and in 1 year you'll be one of the very few Christians who have actually finished the Bible cover to cover. But God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People fall out of church because they lack knowledge. People go into sinful practices in their life because they just don't even know what the truth is because they lack the knowledge and the discernment to know. But the answer is in God's Word if we would just know it. If we would just seek for it and search it. But it's not going to be done through the little Bible devotional book. You know the Bible devotional books. They quote like one verse from the Bible and then they go blah, blah, blah for the rest of the page. And so-called, that's going to get you through the day. That spiritual thought. You know, you read one verse, right? And then they explain it to you for the whole page. Blah, 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 blah. And then, oh man, this is going to get me through the day now. I'm not trying to get through the day. I'm not just trying to get through Sunday. Oh man, I better just get through Monday. Hey, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hey, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to get through the day or get by. Get a little pick-me-up. If you want a pick-me-up, why don't you go do drugs? That's what everybody else does in America, right? They take one drug to get them up and one drug to bring them down. Right? Go buy pills or something. Hey, you don't even have to buy them. They're free. The government will probably give them to you. Or if you really want to get somewhere in your life, instead of just a little pick-me-up, hey, you can memorize the Bible. That's going to get you through your life. That's going to make your whole way prosperous. And so, ditch the devotional booklet. Ditch the little talk with Jesus. And hey, how about sweet hour of prayer and memorize the Bible and learn the Bible. Learn God's Word. Remember, it's a command. Thou shalt meditate therein. Day and night. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, dear God. The best friend that we have. No need to be lonely when we have God's word to talk with us, to keep us company when we're alone. And God, there comes a time in all of our lives when we're alone. We've all been alone. We'll all be alone in the future. Thank you for your word to be there as a companion through lonesome times. Thank you for your word to guide us and lead us and direct us. And Father, I pray that you would just help everyone who's here to not neglect this important part of the Christian life, which is Bible memorization. Not to just brush it aside and say it's for somebody else. But God, help every person here to decide, you know what, I'm going to put some serious, real effort into memorizing the Bible. I'm going to use my spare time when I'm sitting around, when my mind is wandering oftentimes where it shouldn't go. I'm going to bring every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ by memorizing God's Word. Father, please just help us to do this and to apply this in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and sing a song before we go. 363, Wonderful Words of Life. Song number 363.